I'm thankful this morning that Jesus loves the church. Jesus loves the church. We celebrate something very special today. We celebrate people, we celebrate events, we celebrate things that came together for this church to begin 75 years ago. But more than anything else, we celebrate a God who loves the world and loves the church. The Bible tells us unmistakably that God loves every person on this planet. Somehow an infinite God can know who 8 billion people are and know them personally. Today I want to say to you that that same God who created the heavens and earth way back then by the forces that he chose to knows every person that's alive. He knows every person that's alive today. And the Bible tells us that he cares deeply about every person. I mentioned, I believe, when I prayed earlier, the scripture that says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God cares deeply about people. And I know that in life, when our busyness and the things that we do occupy us, that sometimes the reality of the existence of God comes under fire and comes under challenge. And we wonder, does God really exist? And if he does he really care about me? I want to say today that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here today and you're wondering, is God out there? I want to say to you, yes, he is. And he cares deeply about your life. And he cares deeply about eternity. The Bible tells us that God made us as living beings with a soul. And somehow in that amazing creation that God, he made us with life. But he also created us with a soul that will last forever and ever and ever. I've thought about a couple times this week what it means to live forever. And how do we understand eternity? I'm thinking 75 years, that seems like a long time. But then I think how old I am, and that doesn't seem like such a long time. But I think of eternity. I think of the reality that we are made with a soul, and our souls will live forever and ever and ever. God loves us, and he cares deeply about eternity. But he also cares deeply about who we are here in this life. He cares deeply about the fulfillment that we have in knowing him as our Lord and Savior, to know that God is real and God is with us. Today, we do celebrate that Christ loves the church. Christ loves people. And he redeemed us by his blood so that we can know him and sense him, and the relationship with God can be real. Sometimes we might come to church, or people might come to church because it's a habit, or because somebody else does, or because somebody just invited them, but they don't know what it means to have a personal relationship with God. But I want you to know that every single one of us can sense and feel the reality and the presence of Jesus in our lives if we open our hearts. The Bible says that without faith it is impossible to please God. We must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I want to say to you today that there's no substitute in your life for faith in who God is and taking the step to say, yes, I believe he exists. I believe he's the creator, and I put my trust and my faith in him. The scripture I read at the very beginning of the service, Ephesians chapter 5, says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. I think about how giving Jesus is. I mean, we just think about the cross and what it meant that God himself came down and took on the body of a man. How unselfish that was of God. How totally real we see the heart of God when we know that Jesus came to our world and gave himself for us. Christ also has a purpose in the church. He doesn't just love the church, but he has a purpose in the church. And in this scripture, it tells us also that he's working in the church. He's working on the church. He gave himself, the scripture says, to make her holy. Christ gave himself for the church because he's trying to change it. He wants to make it holy, cleansing it washing it by the Word, washing it by His Spirit and by truth. Truth. Washing us with His truth. Christ is not finished with the church. Christ knows the church. He knows its strengths and He knows its weaknesses. He knows when there's been genuine Christianity and He knows when there's been a farce of Christianity. And He loves the church. And He's washing the church. The church is not perfect. Oh, we all know that. There's no one out there who can't tell you that. But will they tell you also how much Jesus loves the church? He loves people. And He cares deeply about you. And He cares deeply about this church. I know that He loves the church around the world. Absolutely. There's unity in the church, the body of Christ. And I believe He loves the Church of the Nazarene and our denomination, our little place in the whole church. I believe that He knows who we are as Nazarenes and He loves the church. But I also want to say today that Jesus loves this church. He cares about every person that's a part of this church. And He cares about every person that's out there in the community who don't know who Jesus is. And He wants to use the church for His purpose to reach people. He loves people so much, He wants to use the church. In Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to read a few verses. Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to start at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" I'll stop there for a moment. That's probably the most important question that you can consider in your life. It's not what you're going to do for your life. I mean, that's important. Who you're going to be with, that's really important, of course. A lot of things are important for us to weigh and consider, but I want to say that the most important question in your life that will determine who you are and which way your life will go is this: who do you say Jesus is? What do you believe about Jesus? Because what you decide about Him will determine your identity and your future and the trajectory of your life. They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what about you?" He asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The reality of the person of Jesus is the most important decision you can make in your life. And Peter got it right. Peter got it wrong a lot. And he will get it wrong a lot, but he got it right here. When Peter asked him the question, I kind of have a feeling Jesus was looking around his disciples and John and Andrew and Thomas and all of them, he looking around the circle, and his eyes landed on Peter. And he said, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "I know who you are. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God." Jesus said, "Oh, that's true. That's right. And that's the rock on which I will build my church." The truth and reality of who Jesus is the rock upon which Christ will build His church. And in our church, our roots are so important for what we believe and how we operate. And there's a lot that we do as a church that are a matter of culture and a matter of preferences. But I want to say about the roots of our church this morning. The most important root of the church is to know who Jesus is. To know who Jesus is. To know that He is the Son of God. That He died for our sins. And we only have a relationship with God through Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. The church's roots are important. This church's roots are so important. And we think back to the 1940s and all the things that came about then. I'm thinking about how important the church is around the world, thinking about the reality of the world and how we're a part of it in the Church of the Nazarene. This is a, a local church. We're a part of the worldwide church, but also how precious those roots of the church are and who we are and what we believe. What we believe about Jesus is the most important. The roots of the church begin with the person of Jesus. What we do with Jesus, the Son of God. What you confess in your spirit, in your mind, in your heart, in your will. I mean, faith and belief is a choice. Faith is not something other than a choice that you make about what God says. And he told us that he sent his son. And we have the opportunity to believe that and to hold on to that. Today we celebrate that. God is the living Savior. He wants a living relationship with each one of us, our roots. A second root that's a part of who we are in this local church is the headship of Jesus over this church. He's in charge. It's not about people. It's not about program. It's about following the leadership of God's Spirit through the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ and keeping our eyes on Jesus. When you got your eyes on Jesus, you can't go wrong. When you listen to his teaching, when you see the way that he dealt with people, when you hear his miracles, when you know his mission and his purpose and what he did on the cross, it reminds us how important it is that we continue to keep Jesus as the head of the church in everything that we do in this church, in our activities, in our worship, in our play, in our community work, that we keep Jesus as the head of the church. Our church also includes the roots of the importance of holiness and believing that God calls every Christian to be completely committed and obedient to him. We believe as Nazarenes that God calls us to live a holy life, that he calls us to say to God about, God, how do you want me to live? What do you want me to focus on? What do you want for my life and my attitude and the way I deal with people and my marriage and everything about my life, my finances, my possessions? We believe as Nazarenes that God wants all of us. God just doesn't want to come at one point in our lives and explain the gospel and we say we're sorry for our sins and we're saved. That's a beginning point of a relationship deep with God. He calls us to a deeper commitment, a deeper work of connecting to the person of God and who he is. We have followed the teachings among many of John Wesley, and we consider ourselves Wesleyan as Nazarenes. We are called to live a holy life, completely given to God. Those are our roots in 2019. We believe that God can and will do a deeper work in our hearts, that he wants to remove from our hearts a selfish spirit. We believe in holiness. We believe that God wants to come inside and take possession of every attitude we have and clean out anything that's unholy to him. Any way that we relate, any habit we have, any way we talk, our priorities, we believe that God wants to come in and totally clean out the selfishness in our hearts and our lives. And he wants to replace it with his love. He wants to fill us with a love for him and a love for people that shines and stands out. It's a love that's unselfish. Those are our roots in the Church of the Nazarene. Those are our roots in what we believe and what this church has stood for 75 years. The Great Commission. Our roots are to understand and believe the Great Commission, that God not only wants to cleanse us, God wants to fill us with the Spirit, but God wants us to take that to the people outside. We believe that the Great Commission is our mission. We believe that in the Church of the Nazarene, that God calls us to be a missionary church, that we care about people who are broken, that we be a church that goes into the tough places of life, and we interact with people that are hard to love. Our DS said some things last week that were so good about that. How God loves people, and he wants the church to love people that are hard to love people that we might not want to deal with, love people that have messed their lives up. God wants us to get our hands very dirty and to go into those places and to care for people. That's what a holiness church does. That's what a holy person does. They have a love and a compassion for people. so that wherever God gives you the influence to show his love, that's where he calls you to serve. God doesn't call us to a lazy Christianity. He calls us to have a passion for people. Part of our roots also is the ministry of this church, 75 years. How do you summarize that quickly? The faithfulness, the serving, the sacrifices, the giving, loving Christ, loving the church, loving the community, loving the world. Those are our roots at the Mifflinburg Church of the Nazarene. Our roots are important. We need to go back and think about them sometimes. What is it that God has done in this church? And what do we need to hold on to? What do we want to hold on to? Those are our roots. But I also want to say a couple of things about the new shoots that God has in this church. I love reading about the past. I love looking at pictures. I love hearing stories. And I love that part of this church and the opportunity to be a part of that. But I want to tell you, deep in my heart is a longing that we will be the church today that God wants us to be. I don't want to depend on the past for who this church is. I don't want to say, well, it's because of what people have done in the past that we have what we are, so we'll just kind of keep floating and enjoying that. My challenge to the church today is, what does God want in this church today? What does God want from you? Those of you that are visitors, I'm glad you're here, and I'm not saying this to you, but I want to say to every person that considers this their church home, what does God want from you in this church today? What does God want in your attitude and your spirit? What does God want in your service? What does God want in the ways that you minister to people around you, your circle of influence? What is it that God calls you to in 2019 to be the church that God wants us to be? You see, this church is not a building, although we celebrate it and love it and enjoy it and use it. Oh, this church is not that. This church is God's people who say, I want to do and be what God calls me to be in 2019. So I want to say to you, young and old, and we have both in our church family, how precious this day of opportunity is, 2019. To determine to be the church today that God wants us to be. Wherever you're at, whatever your age, whether you're young or old, you have a place, you have a circle of influence. Don't say in your heart that somebody else should do it or somebody else should be the church. God calls you, if you're a believer, to be the church. Our DS last week, I mentioned something that he said that got my mind. I mentioned something else that he said that I thought was so good. He kept using this phrase, when the church leaves the building. We're the church inside the building too, with the way we operate. But that's not the primary place God wants us to be the church. No. It's when we go out those doors and we make decisions about how we're going to live and how we're going to influence people. And what's going to be important to us? What's going to be our priorities? What's going to be our mission? What's going to be our focus? What's going to be what we give ourselves to? That's where the church is, and it's important. And Carrie Willis said last week, when the church leaves the building, God help us when the church leaves the building to be what you want it to be. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's working in the church and he's calling us to be his church and to work in cooperation with him. Our focus must be clear and intentional. Our future must be God's future. We must look at our future and say, God, what do you want in this? What should change here? What should change in me? How can we be effective to help people to come to faith in Christ? May our best days be ahead. You know, you've heard that expression. I have so many times, and I do feel that from my heart. I pray that the best days of this church are not 1945 or 1965 or 1985. You know, there's a lot of ways to measure, but God will help us to see 2019 as being the time, the day, the year that we can be the church that he wants us to be. It's about our time and priorities. It's about saying, what do we really believe about God? What do we really believe about His call? What do we believe about lost people? What do we believe about people that die without Jesus and faith in Him, who've heard and rejected Him or have not heard? What do we really believe? It's about our time and priorities. Jesus said that we need to take up the cross and follow Him. Are we looking for a Christianity that's easy, with little commitment and no expectations and no inconvenience? And I'm afraid in our world around us, that's what we're seeing in much of the church. We want an easy Christianity. You know, we don't want to count the cost. We don't want to carry the cross. We don't really want to do the hard things, the inconvenient things, the things that cramp our style. I think of many things. I think of the Sabbath as one of those. Who does the Sabbath belong to? Do we need to remember again the holy God who wants all of us? That's not about being legalistic about what you do on the Sabbath, but it's saying, what do you believe about God? What do you believe about a God who loves you and loves people? Do the things of God mean more to you than all the things out there, the hobbies and the toys and the fun and the recreation that's a part of life? I'm reminded Jesus gave it all for us. I think of the time and priorities that we have, and I think about the importance of stewardship and storing up treasures in heaven, how important that is and how true that is for us. It's also about staying on the mission and holding on to the mission and what God wants us to do as a church. Help us to pray, God, what do you want in this church in 2019? What does God want for this church? Thinking of 2020 and beyond, I realize that it's really up to us. It's up to those that are part of this church family to decide, what kind of church are we going to have here in 5 years? What kind of church is going to be here in 10 years, in 25 years? Think, boy, I was here 15 years ago when we had the 60th anniversary. I think of how much the church has changed in 15 years. Wow. It's an acceleration of change in our culture. Think, what kind of church do we want here? What does God call you to do? Especially the young people that are here today, I just want to ask you, what kind of church do you want to see here in 10 years? What does God call you to be the church and to be a part of His kingdom and His plan? A lot of that, it's a lot to consider, but it's also a lot up to you. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Those words were to Peter, and they were about the future and about leadership and about choices. And I think how true it is for the church today. God gives us certain keys for His kingdom. And He says, you're my church. I love you. I gave myself for you. And I call you to be the church. It's a lot to think about. Two more pictures and I'll be finished this morning. These are a couple of my favorite pictures. I showed them last week. I've shown them to some people. When we talk about the roots of the church and the shoots of the church, the new shoots that are out there. We have a tremendous mission field in this church. There's a lot of pictures I could put up. But these are the ones I had. A lot of pictures of a high school across the street. Think about a growing number of senior adults in our population that are lonely and need to be cared for and loved. Think about that statistic we heard last week. 53% of Americans now say they will not go to church. I think of all the mission fields that are out there. I think we have so many potential mission fields in this church. If we desire to be the church, God will give us the opportunity to love people and reach out in our circles of influence. And so there are some great shoots that we have in this church, in this community, and I'm excited about that. Last picture, again, a picture I showed part of it last week, I believe. Again, kids camp, I was there, I had my camera, and it actually worked, so I took a lot of pictures. I wasn't swimming with it as I did last year. Little boy that said yes to Jesus, little girl that made a decision for Christ. That's why we're here. We have a great responsibility to this generation. We have a great responsibility for the next 75 years. May God help us in order to be the church that He calls us to be. May God help us in 2019 put aside and put away things that aren't really what God wants in His kingdom and be the church that He calls us to be. Thank you for being a part of this church. You that have been here so long, thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your tithing. Thank you for your giving to missions in Philadelphia and Honduras and India and Sunbury. Thank you for your giving to child sponsorship. Thank you for so many different ways that you have given of yourselves to people. Thank you for loving children. Thank you for scholarships so kids and teens can go to camp. I say, God, help us today to be the church that He wants us to be. I hope you'll be a part of it. I hope you'll cherish the hand of God in this church. God, help me today to be what you want me to be. Would you stand, please? Lord God, I thank you for your church. You gave yourself for it and you love it. Also know, God, that you're trying to cleanse the church and make it holy and clean. God, that you have a purpose for the church. Help us, God, to know the purpose that you have for us. God, that we would be hungry to be the church that you want us to be. God, help us to put off selfishness, self-centeredness, and embrace you and the heart of Jesus in loving people, I pray. Pray that you would help us in the days ahead to be the church that you call us to be, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here for this very special day. God bless.